Understanding marriage wasn't a interested in the externals, or if one is only interested in name and fame. Traditionally, of course, marriage was meant to combine two persons who are dedicated to understanding their spiritual identity, and together they serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and make advancement at the same time. Nowadays, of course, marriage is almost, at least in our generation, is not praised, is not a glorious affair, it's not wanted, actually, because it has become very, marriage has become very meaningless, and it has become very passive. So nowadays, persons enter marriage for material benefit. There's so many instances where persons only get married for 72 days, 48 hours, or even before they get married, they sign what you call, many of you have heard it, a prenuptial agreement. Which means, in the case of divorce, I live with my wealth, you live with yours. So already entering with the mindset that we might just split up. Right, back in the day, what do you mean divorce? Marriage is sacred, you take vows and you keep your vows. Kaliyuga, even vows are very, very difficult to keep. Hence you have a growing culture, even a profession where a person's profession is to make prenuptial agreements, to represent persons who are getting married and arranging their prenuptial agreements so that their assets are kept safe if so be there is a divorce. So already that is on someone's mind, we might just not make it, so let's make sure that my wealth is mine, and whatever 2 cents you came with, you leave with. And in that way, entering into a secret union with that mentality provides a lot of insecurity, or it provides leeway for a person to misconduct themselves. So this, of course, is not wanted, and this is not what Srila Prabhupada or the Bhagavatam is trying to show us. There's many instances in the Bhagavatam where there's discussion of the sacred marriage between very advanced souls, like Kardana and Devahuti, or the marriage system itself is being glorified, whether it's Daksha and Sati or Prithu Maharaj and his wife. So many examples are there, which show that this is an institution that is meant for the Krishna conscious upliftment of the entire family. So this has been discussed in the previous text, how the role of Manu, who is the father of mankind, was to, as a Prajapati, make sure that the universe has been populated with good quality citizens. So the samskaras were performed in the right consciousness so that the population is of good quality. And in that way, all the descendants of Manu would be situated in a better position to accept Krishna consciousness. At least they would be situated in the mode of goodness so that they can accept the knowledge and the authority of the Vedas. And that is the way, of course, of utilizing the great wealth that one might have by the mercy of Krishna. So at a wedding ceremony, of course, there's a lot of charity that's been given, whether it's in the form of jewels or cloth, grains, cows, etc. All of these were meant to be utilized in the household for the glorification of the Lord, even when one has servants. In different letters, Srila Prabhupada even writes that in the aristocratic families in India, they would have professional musicians in the morning as their alarm clocks, narrating the pastimes of the Lord so that they may rise early and perform religious duties. So utilizing one's wealth, jewels, for the glorification of Krishna, if at all there's some economic instability, in the household or whatever, these riches that one has acquired might be used off to maintain the deity. So selling the gold, selling the jewels, so that the glorification of the Lord, the worship of the Lord continues in that family. So the main aim was for society, family, a nation to become free from the threefold miseries of life. So Kadama Muni is returning to his palace and he is welcomed with great pomp. And in different parts of the Bhagavatam, we always hear how when the king would return, when the righteous or advanced soul would be returning, there'd be a festival for the eyes. So the roads would be paved, there would be scented water, there would be wonderful decorations, there would be dancing, there'd be music, there'd be glorification. Because this personality, oftentimes a great king, a large rishi, would be not only maintaining the citizens' material existence, but also uplifting them spiritually, showing by that example. So in this way, the threefold miseries, so to speak, were kept at bay, not to see that they were not there, but they were properly dealt with in the right consciousness. So the material world, or material existential life, is filled with threefold miseries. Miseries pertaining to the body and the mind, miseries pertaining to natural disturbances, and miseries inflicted by unknown entities. Now this is something I think we all can relate to. Who in this room has not suffered from any of these threefold miseries? We have all got first-hand experience. But the greatest thing, Srila Prabhupada always said that this process of Krishna consciousness is what will cure the disease of material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, early on in the second chapter, Krishna explains that one who is not disturbed, even one who is not disturbed in mind, understanding that material existence really begins with the mind. All our thinking propensities, all our planning, it all begins with the mind and then it manifests through the body and the senses. So one who is not disturbed in mind even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. So this term used by Srila Prabhupada in the purport is Sthitadhira Muni, one who is always in Krishna consciousness, so for he has exhausted his business of creative speculation. So he's called Prashanta Nishesha Manoratantara. One who has surpassed the stage of mental speculation has come to the conclusion that Lord Sri Krishna Vasudev is everything. Vasudeva Sabhaviti Samahatma Sadhuva. He is called a Muni, he is fixed in mind. So in all the yoga system, we see that this controlling of the mind and the senses is the beginning. It is a pivotal step in one's advancement in spiritual life. And by developing transcendental consciousness through the process of Shravana, Kirtana, Vishnu, Smarana, and all the others that come after that, one simultaneously gets freedom from all these material pangs and gets closer into their original identity as a servant of Krishna. So these miseries that we are afflicted upon are very, very close to us. Our body, we associate with our body, or we're attached to our body so much so that sometimes we're not even aware just how attached we are until there is some fear or some insecurity of our body being taken away from us. Whether it's the youth, whether it's our memory, or whether it's our physical or mental strength. So modern science has come up with so many ways to try to deal with these threefold miseries. So miseries pertaining to the body, the pharmaceutical industry has wealth that is based on people's mental suffering. So, so many drugs are being manufactured because people are mentally disturbed. And this mental disturbance, this uncontrolled mind comes from an uncontrollable lifestyle that can never be, that can never satisfy anyone. So recently, if any of you are watching the news, if you keep up to date, there's a debate going on in the United States of America because of a shooting that occurred in a nightclub in Orlando where I think about 50 persons were shot by one very 22, 23-year-old man who obviously had some anger issues, unsatisfied desires, as Bhagavad Gita explains. When the desires are not fulfilled, one becomes angry and frustrated. And one's mind becomes deluded, one's intelligence does not function, one's memory is bewildered, and one behaves in ways that they cannot control themselves. So this person went in with an assault rifle and opened fire. Now the sad thing is that the debate that's going on is that, oh, we should have these gun laws and we should put up these gun laws in every state, etc., etc. But whether the gun laws are there, what solution is there for people's disturbed mind, with uncontrolled mind and senses? That is the problem. Whether it's a gun or not, they will find something else to use. Right? In some instances, they were using, what was this dust that we're putting in the letters? Anthrax. At some points, you know, they used two planes to fly into the World Trade Center. They use different types of drugs in war so that the opposing army gets weakened, and that they can win the war. So many different ideas can come about to cause destruction. But the main problem is not the resources themselves, it is the uncontrolled mind. The uncontrolled mind gives rise to so much disturbance. So whether or not some gun laws are introduced, how does that change one's raging material desires that are not satisfied? So the uncontrolled mind, it causes misery. Misery to oneself and those that are around us. Misery to one's own body. Taking drugs, taking alcohol, gambling, all these things are actually lead to the downfall of one's humanity, so to speak. Because you do not care about another living entity. The quality of compassion is removed when these lower natures or tendencies are fed. So the culture itself, modern civilization, the culture itself, yes, it has led to technology. We can now use this microphone, there is electricity, I'm sitting on a thing that is high risen, you know, we have mics, we have so many things that we use. Yes, it is fantastic. However, at the same time, these should be used with knowledge, and they should be used in such a way that we understand the right proprietorship mentality. That we have all these things because of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not because it is our own strength, not because we have manufactured. So these threefold miseries are attacking and harassing the conditioned soul. There was another instance where a young man from Stanford University, a very, very high-profile university in the United States, raped a girl and did not take accountability. And he said it was just peer pressure. He's a good guy. Right? At some age, you know, the body is just raging with hormones and persons do not know how to control themselves. So the very beginning of any yoga system is learning to control the mind and the senses. Everything else comes later on. So when the mind and the senses are out of control, it is very, very difficult to behave like a human being. It becomes like polished animal life, honestly speaking. So with this type of society in mind, it is very, very difficult to have a peaceful society. You have a conversation with persons, yes, they're sad, it's wrong, it's terrible. Are you willing to do something? Yes. Would you like to live a controlled life where you're controlling your mind and your senses? It's like, I don't know. So we're not willing to do the work, but we want the benefits. We're not willing to learn to control our body, mind, and senses, but we want the benefits of a peaceful country, a peaceful world, a world where there's no envy, no enmity. It is not possible without a spiritual culture. It is impossible without a spiritual culture. So in the first canto, Narada Muni speaks about the feasible and practical ways to get relief from these threefold miseries. And the solution, the remedial process, is the submissive hearing of transcendental activities of the Lord from bona fide sources. It's very important because there are so many persons out there who pose themselves as very, very advanced. It's not only now you go to India, you get bogus representatives of different fields of thought, but even in any country these days, someone is claiming to have the answers in life. Someone is claiming to be Jesus or the Chosen One. I was reading an article the other day, and there was this man and woman who, judging from the physiology, they were on some intoxication, and this man was selling coupons for $100 each, which he said were made of gold, and he was selling them to persons who wanted salvation so that they can go live in a planet with Jesus, and the planet was made of drugs. And people were buying them. We can laugh, but actually people were buying these tokens or coupons for $100 because we're going to go live on a planet made of drugs. And it came from Jesus. And he was asked by the police, so where did you speak to this Jesus? And he said, well, it was at the back of the KFC, and he appeared to me. And he said, if you want to punish me, you are wrong. You should punish Jesus, because he's the one who told me. So, I mean, it sounds very funny and really silly, but persons were actually buying the story that, yes, there will be a planet made of drugs. We will go there and we will have a good time with Jesus because you're the prophet. So this is the type, this is the quality of population that we have, that they fall for these tricks. If someone like that came to me and you, although we're just beginners, we're practicing devotees, if someone comes up to me and says, I have this pill, or I have this, you will be self-realizing 2 days, 2 weeks. Our obvious response is going to be, no, thank you. Because by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we understand the authentic process to become self-realized. We understand it's not a cheap thing. It's not one thing that you just get from Target or Big W, where someone, you know, it's bhakti or getting our pure Krishna conscious identity back is not a cheap process because it involves a relationship with another person. Relationships aren't cheap. You can't buy relationships. So because of such a weak spiritual culture and a weak understanding, hence Srila Prabhupada in this purport where Narada Muni is explaining that to get relief from these threefold miseries is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. So foolish persons have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures. If you want to stay young, nip and tuck it. Botox it, lift it. But there's so many things these days, right? You don't like your chin, you can have surgery to go file it off. You don't like your nose, you can have surgery to fix it. You don't like the fact that you're getting wrinkles, you can have surgery to make you look like a doll, whatever. But at the end of the day, no one is going to escape the fact that the material body is going to collapse. As Srila Prabhupada would say, 100% death rate. We're all going to exit from this body. So whether we choose to nip, tuck, Botox, wax, vanish, whatever it might be, that is all temporary. And it is a waste of time, because instead of using our energy, instead of using our body to get purified and elevate our consciousness, we're using it to further entangle ourselves in the threefold miseries. We will never be satisfied with the material body. We will never be satisfied with existence in the material world, because the very nature of material existence means that one person will always have more and better, which makes persons very envious. Why this nation is doing so well? Why are these people of this skin color doing so well? Why are people of this hair color doing so well? It's going on perpetually. Material nature is not meant to be fair. Right? Whether you live in Bali or Hawaii or in Tanzania, everyone goes through the threefold miseries. Now, the most intelligent thing is to actually listen to what these great saints and sages are saying. What is the panacea? What is the medicine for actually protecting ourselves from these threefold miseries? Not saying that these threefold miseries will vanish as soon as we chant Hare Krishna. Even on the offensive state, Prabhupada mentions that. It is not that these threefold miseries are going to disappear all of a sudden. But the process of Krishna consciousness helps us deal and manage the effects of these threefold miseries, not only on ourselves, but also on others. So yes, we will have that toothache, our body will deteriorate, but because we have knowledge of attachment and detachment, we do not attach ourselves to the temporary things. We try to create attachment to that which is eternal. So yes, right now we have this material body. We use it to hear and to perform the other processes of Krishna consciousness. So it's not that we totally neglect the external body. We are encased in it, and we are using it for Krishna conscious activities. And that is the most intelligent thing to do. What is not intelligent is to try to hang on to something that is sure to go away with time. But we see every day there's accidents on the road, a relative dies, a friend passes away, and we get, you know, nostalgic about it. Oh, we have to do something, or it's so bad. A few weeks later, it's old news. We continue with life. And we hope that next time when it happens to us, there's going to be a different outcome. My body's going to get, something's going to happen to this body, but I'll be fine. And that is definition of insanity. Performing the same action or having the same mindset and thinking that next time you will get a different reaction. If you put your hand on the fire, you just only burn. That's just how it goes. There's no gray area. So, although there are remedial measures that look attractive, because the material world, it provides so much variety, that makes us feel like, oh, I have so many choices. I can have pink, yellow, green, orange, purple, maroon, white. So much variety. But all this variety is also temporary. It will go. So because the material energy tricks us sometimes to think, oh yeah, I have options in the material world. I can extend my lease in the material world, right? I can keep on extending my stay and extending my stay. And that extending our stay in material existence further entangles us in these threefold miseries. The miseries that are caused by natural disturbance, what can man do? What can man do when there is a tsunami? When there is an earthquake? When there is a flood? The recent floods in Sydney? What can we do? We can try to build houses that are earthquake proof. We can try to stay indoors where if we see a typhoon coming or a tsunami, we can try and hide in the basement. But nature comes and takes its course, purifies. And then we lay there attached to our belongings. My chair used to be here. My car, that's the hood of my car. We cry about my Dolce & Gabbana shoes and my whatever it may be. Right? It's gone. And because we're so attached, it becomes very painful. When we're attached to something, the minute it gets taken away, causes pain to the mind, it causes grief. It's when we see many times when persons leave the body that they're attached to, it causes great anxiety and pain. So that material attachment, that is not what we're looking for. We're looking for that spiritual attachment, being attached to the spiritual reality. That does not cause pain. So the disturbances caused by nature, we cannot run away from. When it's too hot, it's too hot. When it's too cold, it's just cold. But as it mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, the verse I mentioned earlier on, one who is not disturbed even amidst the threefold miseries. One gets to this stage by practicing Krishna consciousness. All the nine processes of Krishna consciousness, beginning with hearing and chanting, they help us become sages of steady minds. So that when these threefold miseries are presented to us, we're not elated, nor are we disturbed, because we understand, just like the winter and the summer seasons, it will pass. Why spend so much time and energy trying to rid something that is going to perpetually happen? The sun is going to rise and set every day. Summertime in India, it's hot, there's nothing you can do. Summertime in Botswana, it's hot, there's nothing I can do. But we understand it for what it is. It is a temporary appearance of a season or a day. Do not get too disturbed by it, because then our energy is wasted into trying to fight with a war that we can't win. On the battlefield, just like Arjuna had asked Krishna, drive me in between the two armies. I want to see who is there from the opposing army. I want to understand what I am up against. Of course, this isn't Arjuna talking theoretically. But some persons say, oh, it's just, you know, metaphorically speaking, etc. It actually happened. Krishna drove the chariot in between the two armies. Arjuna had a look and he said, Krishna, I cannot fight. I am bewildered because I'm seeing my martial arts guru, I'm seeing my grandfather, my relatives. How do I fight? So these are facts that did happen. But Arjuna went and saw what he was up against. But in the material world, it is our responsibility to understand what we are up against. The material energy, as a tiny, insignificant conditioned soul, can I actually fight material energy by myself? No. By taking shelter of one who is not in those clutches, yes, I can win. So taking shelter of Krishna is not just some term that we throw out. Like, oh, I'm so, you know, nervous. Oh, take shelter of Krishna. Oh yeah, that sounds great. Sounds nice. Take shelter of Krishna. meditate at Krishna's lotus feet, or take shelter of the devotees. It's not just things that we say, but if we look at the reality of it, you have something in your heart, you have some anxiety, you go to a devotee, or this is happening in my life, or you go in front of the deities. There is comfort, there is solace, there is strength you get from revealing one's mind and confidence. This is a bona fide part of Krishna consciousness which has been given by the acharyas. So yes, taking shelter of Krishna and his devotees gives us spiritual strength to be able to deal with life in the material world. Whereas if you go to someone who has no knowledge of higher subject matters, transcendental knowledge, they will just give us material remedies that do not work. They actually don't work. So who will be there for us when we're stranded, when we're leaving our bodies, when times get hard? Devotees are there. Devotees are always there. One time I was in New Zealand and there was a friend of us who was leaving his body. He used to come to this temple, Bhakta Glen. And I remember devotees sending me messages, oh, we went to go chant with him today, or we did this today. And it was always, family wasn't there, devotees were there every single day. And this is someone who was just a bhakta, used to come and read outside, talk with the devotees, very friendly to the devotees. And when it mattered the most, it was the devotees who were there to help him remember Krishna. So this is the power of the devotees, the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the devotees and the Lord, they help us deal with the threefold miseries of life as they will come. Guaranteed material existence, material body means there will be some disturbance to the mind and body. There will be natural disturbances. What you speak of disturbances caused by other living entities. Who here likes mozzies? Mosquitoes? No, they bite you sometimes. There might be an outbreak of fleas, ticks, something just gnawing at you. If you ever had dogs, we used to have loads of dogs in our house and it was a problem. So there's always some little living entity bugging you, some little bacterial thing inside you. You start coughing, you get a fever, you can't even think straight. Miserable. And this is like a little tiny living entity. What to speak of other human beings who pose difficulties. So these miseries are going to be there, but we have to equip ourselves. We have to armor ourselves with something beyond material qualities. So when, I'll just going to read, there's this verse. In the first canto, oh, Brahmana Vyasa, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The next verse. Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate na suvrata tad edahi amayam vavyam napunati chikitsitam. Oh, good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? And in the Prabhupada, Prabhupada is explaining, an expert physician treats his patient with a therapeutic diet. For example, milk preparations sometimes cause disorder of the bowels, but the very same milk converted into curd and mixed with some other remedial ingredients cures such disorders. Similarly, the threefold miseries of material existence cannot be mitigated simply by material activities. Such activities have to be spiritualized, just as the fire iron is made red hot and thereby the action of fire begins. So we have to spiritualize our activities. So yes, we have to eat. So we cook in such a way that we offer to Krishna to purify us. We have to work. We dedicate or we offer our work or the products of our work, our income, part of it. It gets purified by supporting the temple, supporting the preaching. We purify our tongue by talking about Krishna. We purify our ears by hearing, our senses. We engage in having darshan of the Lord by embracing devotees, by dancing in kirtan. We can use the entire body so that it gets purified. So the same body, as it is mentioned here, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by the very same thing? Attachment to the body keeps us in this cycle of repeated birth and death. So let's use that same body to liberate us back into our original Krishna conscious position, which is a servant of the Supreme Lord. So I'll stop there and I will ask if there's any comments or questions. Not only sense of compassion for others, but also for themselves. Because what normally happens, these intoxicants are taken to numb a pain. So the feeling worthless, feeling depressed, you want to harm yourself because you do not think there's any value to your life. So you continue with these things, even though you can see that you do not look good, you're not behaving properly. That sense of there's more to me than just this body, there's more to me than just these looks or my last name or whatever it might be, that sense of having more to life is removed. So anything from intoxication, small things, theft, murder, abortion, it doesn't mean anything to them because they just don't care. They do not see value in life. So you throw anything at them, there's no caring sensation. The heart has become so hard and so covered because of constant association with the material energy with the hopes of something else. And then when that gets bashed over and over and over and over again, there's no hope. It's a sad reality, but it does happen to many persons.
So we have to build a big kitchen.
So building a big kitchen, things are happening at the back there. And sometimes philosophy cannot enter as much as prasadam enters into people's hearts. Some person, as soon as you say, the material world, da 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 da, they zone off. Absolutely zone off. If you say to, if you're at some preaching event to persons who don't know Krishna in Australia, you mention, yeah, you know, I chant, you know, how much? Ooh, 2 hours a day, oh my God, you don't drink, you don't, it's just, nothing else will go in. But if you say, here's a puri, here's a pakora, here's some lasagna, it's vegan, yes, it's vegetarian, it's vegan, whatever you want, we got it here. They light up, they can connect, they're like, yes, prasadam enters where philosophy can't sometimes. For some persons, philosophy, yes, it hits the nail. But for many, including myself, it was prasadam. University, you know, high school, you know, there's a little prasadam thing. Oh my gosh, it's for free. I don't want to hear anything else. I'm going to have prasadam. That was me. Halava, halava, halava. Dal, dal, dal. Some burger, roti, roti. And then I started talking to people. But if you came to me from an angle of Krishna and mysticism, I had no interest whatsoever. I was interested in fun and politics. But for sudden change, all that. Absolutely. So the kitchen is being built, more prasadam will be going out. And you see the looks on people's faces when they just, for us, because we're so spoiled sometimes. We have, you know, spinach pies and so many nice things. And then you see people, you know, like going for these pakoras and tomato sauce. And we're thinking, why are they getting so excited over pakoras? Well, then it's just halava and custard, and this person has bowl after bowl after bowl. This person like doing crossways. They have a bowl after bowl after bowl. And we're thinking, it's just halava. No, but this is prasadam. We get familiar with the process sometimes. We don't understand. We should think back to ourselves when we used to have prasadam the first time. I used to love khichdi and papadams. You know, when you toast papadams on the flame, oh my gosh. That was the one thing I used to look forward to. Every Saturday when I used to visit the temple in Cape Town, is it khichdi? If it was upma, I'd be sad. Khichdi and papadams, lemon juice. I was so happy. And I want to get that happiness back with the khichdi for 12 years. So, yeah, we don't want to get familiar with the process. Prasadam is very powerful. Prasadam makes friends. Prasadam breaks barriers. Prasadam is an icebreaker. So it's very powerful.
Mataji, you say that Krishna consciousness doesn't eradicate three modes of material nature. This material existence, miseries, miseries for material existence, but experience is different. It reduces to some extent.
Material pain, it's there.
Because here it is also said, see this, it says, he entered the Manu entered into the paradise.
The atmosphere. Yeah, so who creates that atmosphere? What type of population creates an atmosphere where there's no, where there's the three miseries of material existence are eradicated? Machit madgat prana, bodhi antas parasparam. So there will be death, there will be so many things around, but the devotees, they create an atmosphere of a higher lifestyle. So these things are going on around us all the time. But because we are drinking a different type of nectar, just like, you know, the swans, some ducks, water goes on, it slides just off. Sometimes observe carefully, it just slides off, it doesn't get mud, it just slides off. So when we're deeply involved in Krishna consciousness, these threefold miseries, they are there, we see them, not only with ourselves but with others, but they will slide off because we're deeply rooted in another culture, in a spiritual culture. So this atmosphere is created because the king, Swayambhuva Manu, because of his Krishna consciousness, whether it's Lord Ramachandra, Prithu Maharaj, the atmosphere was very advanced spiritually because there was a lot of hearing and chanting. And later on in the next few verses, we will hear exactly how Manu created that atmosphere. We're going to hear more. I won't spoil it. But we will hear more as for what was happening when Manu was reigning, why that atmosphere was there. Okay, I'm going over time. I've been going. Thank you very much. Thank you.